Well, as the preachers normally say at this point in the meeting, I'd just like to say it's a joy to be here in American Baptist Church. This morning I'd like to thank Bertie and the oversight of the assembly for giving me another opportunity of bringing the Lord's Word this morning to the flock gathered here. When I was growing up as a lad, my favourite gospel preacher was a man called Jim Hutchinson. He wasn't Pastor Mullen, that might surprise some. Remember Mr. Hutchinson once saying that there are, at least he suggested, 365 titles given to the Lord Jesus Christ in the Word of God. And this morning I would like to consider one of them. Couldn't help but think that last week was Mother's Day and this morning, today, is St. Patrick's Day. We do well to remember that it's the Lord's Day. And on the Lord's Day, we consider him. And I would like to consider him this morning as the Good Shepherd of the sheep. I want to read this morning from some verses in the Old Testament, first of all, and then some verses from John 10. Some verses from the Old Testament in Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34, reading from verse 1. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves, should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The disease have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed the sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd. They became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Verse 11. For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day, that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. Verse 15, I will feed my flock and will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick, but I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. The last verse of the chapter says, And ye, my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men. And I am your God, saith the Lord God. Now over to John 10, please. John's Gospel, chapter 10. Verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep have I which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I will give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. That will do for our reading, and we pray the Lord will bless the reading of Holy Scriptures again this morning. You might recall last Lord's Day evening, our brother Gareth Gwynn read the lovely 53rd chapter of Isaiah, and he concentrated on verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. All we like sheep have gone astray. That's where we all were at one time. We were gone astray. But then we heard a voice and we heard a call. And I'm thinking of that verse in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, which says, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." In that verse, white as snow and white as wool is the idea. You have that little term, white as wool, in the Song of Solomon. In both times, it's talking about whiteness and the purity of those that have been saved, that have been cleansed from sin. White as wool, white as snow, white as wool. Pastor Harvey Shaw, bear that in mind. Pastor Harvey Shaw came one night, took the Sunday school prize evening. And before he spoke, he wanted the boys and girls to sing. And he asked them, could we sing, rolled away, the burden of my heart rolled away. And then when he got them singing, he then asked the children, would they also shout, and never came back. Never came back. And the idea was, when the burden of sin is removed, it's gone and gone forever. Never came back. I remember one time watching sheep being sheared. And then I watched the man shear the sheep and roll it up, the fleece. And he threw it behind him. As I watched, I was thinking of what Pastor Harvey Shaw was teaching the boys and girls. Rolled away. The burden is gone. Never came back. I was watching. Thought struck me, that fleece never goes back upon the sheep. What a picture of salvation. What a picture of sins forgiven. Never came back. Rolled away. The old hymn says, would you be free from your burden of sin? Ah, the burden. That they all appear burdened when they're brought in. But they're called. Come now. And the burden is lifted. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. The burden's gone. Never to come back. Jehovah cannot twice demand. First at my bleeding surety's hand and then again at mine. Never brought against us again. In Isaiah 38, Hezekiah says, God has cast my sin behind his back. Never between us and God again. We are clothed in his righteousness. And the sin question has been settled. Rolled away. Cast behind his back, never again to come before us. And God says, come now, and let us reason together. And that verse took on an entirely different meaning, particularly where it says, and they shall be as wool. I want to take the picture a little further this morning. Where did the sheep go after they had the fleece removed? Well, I watched them go back into the field that they came out of. Back into the field where they were. Isn't it so that we're in the world this morning? Not of it. But reality is that we contend with the world and the flesh and the devil in the field. Now you might say that's a bit of a contradiction. No, it isn't. In the field, those that had the fleece removed, they were very clearly identified. And so it should be for believers. I mean, it wasn't hard to pick them out. They're readily identified. They're certainly a lot cleaner. They seem to move with a lot more freedom. He that the Son sets free is free indeed. We're in the field this morning. There's wild beasts in the field. There's snares in the field. Remember, there was a ram caught in the thicket by the horns. They're not always caught by the horns, mind you. I'm glad that one was caught by the horns. It was unblemished. But many a sheep is caught in other ways in the field. There's bullying goes on in the field. Parents are watching their children for bullying. There's bullying goes on in the workplace. Aye, and there can be bullying goes on amongst God's people. There's temptation in the field. Yes, and there could be hunger in the field. There's many difficulties encountered in the field, and isn't it so? You know, bullying, it's always the weaker one. Or it's always the one that's a little bit different. Or it's the new one. And God's people are different. And the more we're different, the more we know oppression and persecution and difficulty. So we're in the field this morning. And that's where we are. And that's why I want to consider the Good Shepherd. On my text this morning is John 10 and 14. John 10 and 14, the Lord says, I am the Good Shepherd, and know my sheep. I like that bit. I am the Good Shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. I am the Good Shepherd, and know my sheep. This morning, what I would like to do is just to show you just how well he knows the flock. You see, isn't it so that it is said and has been said before that we come together on the Lord's Day and we turn out in our best and we look well. And yet we can hide so much and disguise so much. But the Lord knows. The Lord knows his flock. You see, if you were out and you see passing sheep, you would say, oh, look at the sheep, they're lovely, and they all seem the same. But if you're in the company of the shepherd for any length of time, you will find that they're not the same. And the shepherd could tell you they're not the same. He could point to this one and that one, because there's differences. And there's needs, various needs. And there are those that are old, and there are those that are with young. And he surveys the flock this morning. And he says, I am the Good Shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. Ezekiel 34 is a bit like that. Ezekiel 34 is to do with Israel and the restoration of Israel. And we could have read other verses that would tell us that clearly. It talks about them being brought out of other countries. It talks about them being brought to one land, their land, the mountains of Israel. And it talks about a future day, and we have been hearing much of it in the book of Daniel, because Ezekiel prophesied in the same time as Daniel, talking about a day yet future concerning Israel. I'm leaving the prophecy to those that are evil. I want to look devotionally at what the shepherd said, what God said concerning his people. Because when you listen to the shepherd speak in Ezekiel 34, you soon realize that he certainly knows his sheep. And God lays a charge to the shepherds of Israel in Ezekiel 34. He says to the shepherds of Israel, the leaders or the civic leaders or the religious leaders are the kings of Israel. He lays a charge against them, and he said, you haven't fed the flock. You're eating the fat, and they clothe you with the wool, and you kill the, but you haven't fed them. God has a charge against the shepherds of Israel for their negligence and caring for the flock. And he starts to name them. He says, the diseased you haven't strengthened. He says, neither have you healed that which is sick. And he says, neither have you bound up the broken. And he says, neither have you brought again that which is driven away. And he says, neither have you sought that which is lost. But with force and with cruelty have you ruled over them. And then I like the bit where God says, but I will be a shepherd unto them. I will be a shepherd unto them. God says, I will feed my flock. In verse 15, he says, I will cause them to lie down. And he says, I will seek the lost. Now, that's what I want to look at this morning. I want you to see the character of the shepherd. I want you to see the good shepherd who knoweth his sheep. And he begins in verse 16 and he says this, I will seek the lost. He's the seeking shepherd. I will seek that which was lost. This morning I wonder are you here on the Lord's Day morning amongst God's people, but you're one that is lost. I was reading earlier on this morning in Luke 15 of the one who went out searching for the lost. 99 gathered in, but there is still one. I wonder, are you that one this morning? Lost. I love the old hymn which says, Jesus, my Savior, to Bethlehem came, born in a manger, sorrow and shame. Oh, what is wonderful, blessed be his name, seeking for me. He's the seeking shepherd, and he seeks the lost. Jesus, my Savior, the same as of old, when I was wandering afar from his fold, gently and long did he plead with my soul. There's one who pleads this morning. There's one who seeks the lost. There's one who went his way to Calvary, died in your stead. Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. None of their ransomed ever knew. How deep were the waters crossed. How dark was the night the Lord passed through, or he found a sheep which was lost. He seeks the lost. Couldn't help but think as we think in these evenings of the Lord's return in the Bible class, there's coming a day when there'll be a soul saved, and it's going to be the last soul saved. I wonder, are you the one this morning? He's the seeking shepherd. And the first thing he says, I'm going to seek the lost. Then he says this in verse 16. He says, I will bring again that which was driven away. He's not only the seeking shepherd and he seeks the lost. He's the searching shepherd. He searches for those that are driven away. There's many things can drive the flock away. Talks about beasts in the field. We read that earlier in Ezekiel 34. There's beasts in the field. Can drive the flock away. Mind you, there's enough beasts in the field without brethren of the fellowship driving sheep away. And that can happen too. There's much that can go wrong. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. Much to contend with in the field. Poor shepherding could drive sheep away. Hunger could drive sheep away. But he searches for those that are driven away. You know, the shepherd doesn't drive sheep. the disciples, they thought the lambs were just a nuisance. And they chased the children away. The Lord had to rebuke them. Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Now he searches for them driven away. When Ruth left, and Naomi, when Naomi left, it seemed that it was famine that drove them away. When Naomi and Ruth returned, you know what she said? She said, the Lord has brought me back again. It's the Lord that brought me back again. He searches for the driven away. Ah, there's much, isn't there, that can drive sheep away. There's a certain way of preaching that could drive sheep away. I remember a man coming to the Cleft Young People's Meeting. His agenda seemed to be, he was just going to put all the young people straight. Why is it in every assembly that I have knowledge of, there seems to be those that want to criticize the young people? And he started off scolding. And it developed into like a rant. And after 5 minutes, I wasn't listening. You see, a man who goes into the flock wielding a big stick and randomly cracking this one and that one over the head, he's a lot to learn about shepherding. That's not how the shepherd works. He searches for the driven away. Maybe you're driven away this morning. Maybe something has happened. Maybe something has said something. Maybe it's disappointment. I doubt if you feel hungry in this assembly, you couldn't possibly. Maybe it's temptation that's taken you away. So often the grass looks greener on the other side of the fence. He searches for the driven away. The shepherd doesn't drive sheep. I remember one occasion helping my father to bring in sheep. And they were all going in through the gate bar, one at the back, which was looking to the bottom of the field. And there always is one. And then once one goes, they all go. So I quickly was able to head it off. Once it turned and went, I knew it was going, and I gathered it in. And as they were going into the gate again, the same one was looking to the bottom of the field again. And they were all going into the gate, and this time we just got them through the gate and let the one go. And two lambs. And I thought, you want to run, I run. And we run the sheep right to the foot of the field. And as I turned to come up the field again, I ran and chased it all the way up again. No attempt to turn it at all. Came near the gate again, it turned and went again, and I just went after it again. As we were coming up the field for the second time, I wasn't chasing the sheep anymore. I was driving the sheep. You see, I had caught up on it. And I think it wanted to slow down. But I just kept driving the sheep. 3/4 of the way up the field, it just collapsed. It collapsed. And I'm standing, and the two lambs are standing, and the sheep has collapsed. And I thought, it's dying. And I didn't feel so clever then. My Lord, my father was watching from the yard. I know him well enough to think I know what he was thinking. He was thinking at that point he takes that after his mother. But I looked at him and I shouted, I think it's dying. I've run it into the ground. And he came with a small bucket towards the sheep. 20 yards from the sheep, 25 yards from the sheep, he stopped, clipped the bucket off his leg and said, come on. And to my surprise, sheep stood up. He turned and walked into the yard, and I stood and watched the sheep follow. And they all walked in. And I couldn't help but think, I'm just a hireling. I know nothing about shepherding. That's how the shepherd works. Shepherd doesn't drive. The shepherd doesn't hound. Shepherd leads. I stood thinking, the sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. I am the good shepherd. Know my sheep. He seeks the lost. He searches for the driven away. And then he says, I will seek the lost and bring again that which was broken. Verse 16, and I will bind up the broken. I will bind up the broken. He knows those that are broken. Maybe there are some in the flock here this morning. You're broken. I will bind up the broken. You know the great apostle Peter? He was a man once broken. He denied the Lord. Peter, first out of the boat, first into the water, first into the tomb, he outran John. First one to react in the Garden of Gethsemane and out with the sword. First one to speak, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The impulsive man, the big man, the big man who boasted. The Lord says, Peter, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And he denied the Lord, miserable. Luke 22, I think it is, says that when he denied the Lord the third time, it says that the Lord looked at Peter. That Luke just spoke volumes to Peter. The Lord looked at Peter. And he remembered all that the Lord had said. And it says that he went out and he wept bitterly. He was broken. Maybe you failed the Lord this morning. Maybe you're here and you're broken. Maybe during the week you've made a mess of things. Said something you shouldn't have said. Did something you shouldn't have done. Broken. He binds up the broken. My father had a sheep one time that was badly broken. Worst I ever seen. A deep gash in the leg. It was like the leg was hanging off. I quickly dismissed it. It'll never be any good. Forget about it. It's isolated. More time being spent to look after one than the rest of the flock. And I said, forget about it. And the shepherd said, we'll work on it. And a couple of weeks passed and I noticed it lying again, still there. Still looking, still working after that other thing. You were better shooting it. We'll work on it. We'll see what we can do. Well, then I'm not a shepherd, I'm just a hireling. I don't know anything about sheep. And that passed and gone, and I soon forgot about it, clean forgot about it. One summer's day in the field, Father said to me, do you remember that one? Which one? Fourth from the left. What's so special about fourth from the left? And just at that day, ran one. He says, that's the one that was once broken. It was once broken. A sheep with lambs, running with the rest again. I couldn't see any difference in it. The shepherd binds up the broken. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cleanses us from all sin. Once broken. I always loved the way, I always remembered it too. Resurrection morning, the Lord is, word went out, the Lord has risen. And He has appeared unto Peter. The Lord sought out Peter. And we're not told what took place, but I love what Pastor Mung said about that occasion. Pastor Mung suggested, he says, I think he sat down beside Peter somewhere weeping and put his arm around him and squeezed him. Just sort of cuddled him. What a picture. Because he binds up the broken. Ah, that's how the shepherd works. He says, I am the good shepherd. And know my sheep. He knows those that are lost here this morning. He knows those of you that time you were saved. Calling. And He searches for the driven away. And He binds up the broken. Doesn't throw them away. Isaiah 42, a bruised reed He doesn't break. Smoking flax He doesn't quench. Well, He fans the flame again. He's a sympathizing shepherd. Aye, and it says He will strengthen the diseased. He's a strengthening shepherd. Did you notice that in the flock that was neglected there were diseased sheep? But when you come down to verse 16, the diseased aren't mentioned. They're mentioned in verse 4, the neglected flock. They're not mentioned in verse 16, the flock that God is the shepherd. In fact, there's one type of sheep left out, and there's another one added in. He strengthens those that are diseased. I often listen to Pastor Lyle and think what a wise shepherd he is. Time and time again I hear him say something. And it's just like he's strengthening against disease. You see, disease is subtle. Disease is contagious. Disease spreads. Disease can be there and for some time undetected. Disease just doesn't affect one, it affects all, many. There's many diseases can get in amongst the flock. Do you know the best way to combat the disease is to feed them? You haven't fed them. Malnutrition leads to disease. Weakness. Then they catch everything that's going. Ah, but a flock. We can't complain about the way the flock is fed in this assembly. Oh, I will strengthen the disease against disease. The flock that's well cared for. Disease doesn't take hold. You see, there's diseases in all assemblies and can spread. Pergamos knew the disease of modernism or liberalism. Thyatira, the disease was ecumenism. Laodicea, it was materialism. Sardis, it was formalism and traditionalism. It had a name that they were alive and they were dead. So many diseases can get in amongst the flock. The best way to combat disease is through the Word of God. Oh, what a strengthening agent it is. Regular, systematic fortification, prevention, a program of immunization or vaccination through the Word of God. I'll teach the Word and feed the flock and strengthen against disease. He's a seeking shepherd, he's a searching shepherd, he's a sympathizing shepherd. He binds up the broken. He's a strengthening shepherd against all that is diseased. He's also the succoring shepherd. It says, I will heal the sick. I will heal the sick. Maybe you're here this morning and you're sick. I couldn't help but think of two that were on the Emmaus Road and their heads were down. They were weary. They were sad. They were disappointed, disconsolate. We thought it had been he that had come to redeem Israel. Ah, we trusted it was him. We hoped. And the word has gone out. They took him and they crucified him upon a cross and they put him in a tomb. And now they're saying he has arose, but we're confused. We don't know what to believe anymore, and we're getting out. We're going home. We thought it had been him that had come to redeem Israel. You'll always tell the sick one, his head's down, stuck in a corner somewhere. Maybe that's you this morning. I wonder, are you a depressed disciple this morning? Weary, worn, and sad. He knows all about the sick, you know. It says, I will heal the sick. Gordon was quoting Psalm 103 this morning in the prayer meeting. He forgiveth all our iniquities and he healeth all diseases. And he heals the sick. And the two on the Emmaus Road, what happened was this. The Lord drew near. The Lord drew near. And it says at beginning that Moses and in all the scriptures he expounded unto them things concerning himself. The word of God brought the comfort. And they said, did not our hearts burn within us when he talked with us by the way? He talked with us. It was a voice. It was a shepherd's voice. He found me. That's how the shepherd works. He found me bruised and dying, and he poured in oil and wine. And he whispered to assure me, I found thee, thou art mine. I never heard a sweeter voice. Shepherd's voice. Caused my aching heart rejoice. Oh, the love that sought me. Oh, the blood that bought me. Oh, the grace that brought me to the fold. Wondrous grace that brought me to the fold. I'd love to have sang that hymn this morning. It's not in our hymn book. Ah, in tenderness he sought me. That's how the shepherd works. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. Unknown of mine. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom. And he shall gently lead those that are with young. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known of mine. Did you notice in verse 16? At the end of verse 16 it says, but I will destroy the fat and the strong. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. You might say to me, oh, that's not in keeping with the shepherd. You might say, the fat and the strong. There's no disease in the flock, but there's fat and strong. He's a scrutinizing shepherd. I tell you, he surveys the flock. And you know what he sees? He sees those that are far too fat. Fat and strong. One day I shouted to my father, best sheep in the field, all moral show sheep, fat and strong. And he laughed. No, 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 no. This is the best one in the field. Scrawny, skin and bone. He says it raises the best two lambs every year. The one that I was talking about was barren. No lamb. Putting it all on its own back. Fat and strong. God says, I'll judge the fat and strong. We may love each other, but we'll not love the shepherd. There are those of us that are too fat, too selfish, keeping it all to ourselves, living for ourselves and not for others, not giving it away. God says, I'll judge the fat and strong. 2 Corinthians 5, we must all appear for the judgment seat of Christ, that every man might receive that which is done in the body, whether good or bad, whether worthwhile or worthless. 1 Corinthians 3, for the day shall declare it. Every man's work shall be made manifest. It shall be revealed by fire. There's that which will come forth as gold and silver and precious stone. And there's that which will just burn wood, hay, and stubble. Oh, we're maybe too fat. I think we're all too fat. Increase with goods, Laodicea. Increase with goods and need of nothing. Don't recognize our spiritual dearth and blindness. We're all too fat in this day. I think we're all too fat and too strong. He's the seeking shepherd. He seeks the lost. He's a searching shepherd. He searches for the driven away. He's a sympathizing shepherd. He binds up the broken. He's a strengthening shepherd. He strengthens against the disease. He's a succoring shepherd. He heals those that are sick. He's the scrutinizing shepherd. Ah, he sees the fat and the strong. He says, I'll judge the fat and the strong. He's a satisfying shepherd. Verse 15, I will feed my flock. And I will cause them to lie down. One evening in winter, I asked my father, how's the sheep? He said, all is well. He said, do you know how I know? He said, look at them. And all eyes were on him. Everyone was standing, gazing at the shepherd, and the shepherd knew that all was well. He satisfies. Turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth shall go strangely dim, light of his glory. The bride eyes not her garment, but her dear bridegroom's face. I will not gaze at glory, but on my inward face. Not at the crown he giveth, but on his pierced hand. The Lamb is all the glory of Emmanuel's land. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep. Now here's a test. How well do we know him? I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. Let's bow in prayer, please. Our God and Father, we bow in thy presence again this morning. We thank thee that so many in our gathering can say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Our Father, we thank thee for one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all. We thank thee for the manner in which he leads and guides and meets our every need. And our Father, we pray for needy in our meeting this morning. Whatever that need might be, that they might recognize and learn that in the shepherd, there's one who can meet their every need. We pray for those that must leave us just now. We pray for thy continued presence as we gather around this table. For we ask all these things in our Saviour's most worthy and precious name. Amen. 152.